What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care hospital pharmacy podcast. This is episode 5, and we will be discussing vasopressor use and shock. This is a brief overview of vasopressors and shock. At the end of the show notes, I'll link to a more detailed review article. You can find the show notes by going to pharmacyjoe.com/episode5. Shock is the syndrome that results when the cardiovascular system fails to maintain adequate tissue perfusion. The goal in this state is to maintain hemodynamics while the cause of shock can be addressed. Fluids, vasopressors, and inotropes are the essential parts of the treatments of shock. Today we'll focus on the vasopressors, norepinephrine, vasopressin, epinephrine, dopamine, and phenylephrine. Before we dive into discussing each vasopressor, let's talk dosing and administration for a moment. The starting dose of your vasopressor, I make a very simple judgment when I'm deciding on what the starting dose of the vasopressor should be. My starting rate depends on how dead the patient is. If the patient is in extremis, then I will start at the maximum rate for the institution and then titrate down to whatever goal, blood pressure or mean arterial pressure, the physician has. If the patient is stable, then I'll start near the bottom of my institutional dosage range and then work up. As far as maximum dose of each vasopressor, these are going to vary greatly between institutions. It's likely your hospital has arbitrarily set a maximum dose for each vasopressor. I wouldn't get hung up on it as long as there is agreement across disciplines on your institutional maximum. Maximum doses were invented to be exceeded, so don't be shocked when your doc squeezes the IV bag in while trying to stabilize a young overdose patient long enough for ECMO to be started. As far as peripheral versus central line administration of vasopressors, I like the quote, "Any port in a storm." Let's be realistic. Many patients would suffer organ damage from profound hypotension if you waited for a central line to be placed to give them vasopressors. If you're using vasopressors in a peripheral line, you should choose a small bore and the largest vein possible. If the need for vasopressors persists, a central line should be placed as soon as possible. In a Cochrane review, I've linked to it in the show notes, the average infusion duration that resulted in complications of peripheral vasopressors was about 55 hours. I personally would not want to be using vasopressors peripherally for more than just a couple hours. This is especially important given the phentolamine shortage. I wouldn't count on the alternatives, terbutaline and topical nitropaste, if I were you. Now on to the vasopressor discussion. Let's start with norepinephrine. If you were going to choose one vasopressor to start first in shock of essentially any etiology, norepinephrine would be the one to choose. The surviving sepsis guidelines say to use this first, and there is data suggesting lower mortality with norepinephrine versus dopamine in cardiogenic shock. Head on over to the show notes and you'll see links to these evidence bases. Norepinephrine is a potent alpha-adrenergic agonist with less pronounced beta-adrenergic agonist effects. It causes vasoconstriction and, to a lesser extent, increases cardiac output and stroke volume. Reported dose ranges for norepinephrine are from 0.01 to 3.3 micrograms per kilo per minute. My institutional maximum is 0.6 micrograms per kilo per minute, and starting concentration is 8 milligrams and 250 mLs normal saline. My starting rate, again, always depends on how dead that patient is. I start at the max if the patient is in an extreme state of shock. That's 0.6 mics per kilo per minute. On to vasopressin. Vasopressin is an endogenously secreted hormone. It constricts vascular smooth muscle directly via V1 receptors and also increases responsiveness of the vasculature to catecholamines. in septic shock, endogenous supplies are quickly depleted, and patients are often exquisitely sensitive to vasopressin replacement therapy at a dose of 0.03 or 0.04 units per minute. Don't get too hung up between those two doses. You should be using fixed-dose vasopressin in septic shock. The first studies used 0.04 units per minute. The largest study used 0.03 units per minute. I'll use either one. It doesn't bother me. Sepsis guidelines recommend adding vasopressin to norepinephrine. This combination usually allows for a lower dose of norepinephrine to be used. Don't be surprised to see your cardiac surgeons using vasopressin at higher doses for low cardiac output postoperatively. We use up to 0.1 units per minute for this indication, and vasopressin is titrated to effect in this setting as opposed to the fixed dosing in sepsis. On to epinephrine. Epinephrine is a more even mix of alpha and beta agonist activity compared to norepinephrine. It's reasonable to use epinephrine second line when other therapies are not enough. Epinephrine causes more tachycardia and lactic acidosis than our first line agents, and it should be weaned off first due to the risk of gut ischemia. My starting concentration is 8 milligrams and 250 mL normal saline, and institutional maximum dose is 1 mic per kilo per minute. Now, phenylephrine, the lazy clinician's vasopressor. Phenylephrine is absolute garbage in septic shock. You don't want to use this vasopressor if you don't have to, unless there is something very benign going on, like systemic vasodilation from drug effect, like propofol or epidural anesthesia. The problem with phenylephrine is that it reduces cardiac output and decreases venous return. It is a pure alpha agonist. My starting concentration is 50 milligrams and 250 mL normal saline, and our institutional maximum dose is 5 mics per kilo per minute. Do not be fooled into thinking that phenylephrine is first line in tachycardic patients because it has no beta activity. Your shocked patient's tachycardia is probably a compensatory mechanism and will resolve after the shock is appropriately addressed. We discussed this back in episode 3. Check out the show notes for that episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode3. Dopamine. Dopamine is like having three pressors in one. Depending on the dose, you can get dopamine to do a whole host of things. Dopamine's activity is traditionally split into three categories with specific dose ranges, but in the critically ill patient, there is often overlap between these categories. Less than 5 mics per kilo per minute, it's thought to produce vasodilation in the renal and mesenteric bed via dopaminergic receptors. 5 to 10 mics per kilo per minute causes increased heart rate and contractility via beta-1 receptors, and greater than 10 mics per kilo per minute produces arterial vasoconstriction via alpha-1 receptors. That is wonderful information to learn, but it's more important to know that dopamine has essentially no benefit over other vasopressors and comes with a higher risk of ventricular arrhythmia. Don't expect to use it much. Starting concentration is 400 milligrams and 250 ml normal saline, and institutional maximum is 20 mics per kilo per minute. The one advantage dopamine does have is that it comes premixed with extended stability. This means you'll more likely find it in a Code cart. Like the saying goes, you go to the Code with the vasopressors you have, not the vasopressors you want to have. That's it for today's review. Please check out the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode5. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast using the buttons in the show notes. It really helps other people find the show. Thank you, and I'll catch you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.